News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 27th of March, Anno Domini 2005, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
Corey Moran here.
Yeah.
Try to answer your calls, so be patient, please.
We should wish
and I'm Nick Francesco.
We should wish everybody a happy Easter.
Happy Easter to everyone. I'm very excited to have had a wonderful Easter morning with my family. How about you guys?
Yeah, very good. Very good. Yeah. You know, busy with the dogs and that, you know, in the morning. And maybe being across from St. Ambrose, you know.
Yeah.
They're getting ready for 9:45 Mass.
Right, right.
And you see everybody scurrying over there. And it's really cute. Some folks still get dressed up for Easter.
I love that.
Yes, so do I. Well, it takes me back to the old days.
Right.
I can remember my mom trying to get all my sisters ready for, you know, Easter Sunday.
Yep.
And my one sister, Sheila, we used to call her Black Ann because my mom would always dress her last. Because it doesn't matter. Oh, I got some too. It didn't matter how, you know, well organized she was. My sister always had, Sheila had to be dressed last because she'd always get dirty or something else before we went over our grandparents.
Yeah.
But we had to sit there. Once you got your suit on and your shirt and tie and your Easter outfit, you sat there.
Yeah.
You didn't move.
My daughter read at the Easter Vigil last night.
Oh, sweet.
The 3-hour Easter Vigil. She was one of the readers last night. So she comes down to supper. We're having spaghetti. And she comes down to supper. Last night we had Chinese, but she comes down to supper in her outfit, which is a beautiful blue skirt and a white blouse. I said, I don't think you're going to be eating in that. You got two choices, don't eat or put something else on while you eat.
Yeah, or a very big bib.
Yeah, exactly. So that was very nice. And then this morning I'm very excited to say that although my daughter found her basket real fast, my wife took forever to find hers.
Cool.
Of course, she also hadn't had but one cup of coffee, so there she had kind of a...
Well, you had the advantage.
I had the advantage.
But like I say, going back, though, I can remember, you know, seeing all the bonnets and all the kids dressed up. That was so nice.
It was nice.
I mean, you know, it's...
It made it something special.
Yeah, exactly. It was a special day, and you did something special for it.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Well, happy Easter to all of you.
Yes.
Whether you celebrate it as a religious holiday or as just an Easter bunny kind of thing, happy Easter to you. I'd like to talk a little bit about PC scams. This goes along with our poll of the week, which I'll talk about a little bit later. But there's been there are a lot of websites that will scan your computer to detect viruses or spyware. And what the U.S. Federal Trade Commission announced a couple of weeks ago is that a number of these are fake. I know that shocks you. But it's true. Most of them are, many of them at least, are fake. They announced on March 11th that Spyware Assassin, which is a $30 program sold by Max Theater Incorporated, was promoted by bogus pop-up windows. These windows would falsely claim you have a dangerous spyware virus infection on your computer. Click OK to install the latest free update to fix these errors. The Federal Trade Commission said that if you clicked OK, a phony local scan reported that spyware had been found, displayed a phony list of supposedly infected files and folders, and both the original message and the local scan reported problems, even if the computer was free of viruses and infections, and they got shut down. The site is now shut down. But the number of bogus programs that pose as anti-spyware or virus applications, the number is enormous, and it's still growing. There's a security researcher who's found more than 100 examples of disreputable applications on the web. He's got a list of them at a page at Spyware Warrior, which we'll find and put up on our site. Spy Deleter, for example, is a product promoted by Sanford Wallace. If you know Sanford Wallace, or as everyone calls him, Spamford Wallace, he was formerly a well-known spammer. Says he's cleaned his act up, but Spyware Deleter is, of course, the same idea. The FTC has a restraining order against him and his company's related company, Seismic Entertainment Productions. Rogue programs often, these kind of online scanner programs actually often install homepage hijackers, open backdoors for installing other software. Lots of computer users, all of us, are understandably afraid of online threats. We click OK to clean up these things whenever we see a thing like this, because most of the time we don't know where the alert came from.
Exactly. You're hoping you're doing the right thing.
Right. You and get an alert that says you've got spyware, click here to clean it, and you think, oh, great.
And they look like real Windows alerts.
Yes.
They look, but they're not. Unfortunately, the problem with this is that there are some legitimate security companies who also offer online scans.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they've become, they've got some sort of cachet of legitimacy.
Yep.
And that leads to this problem. These companies are great and they mean well, but I personally can't recommend that you use these online scans because most people can't be sure whether they're getting a good one or a bad one. Basically, is how that works.
And a lot of that kind of goes to the anti-spyware programs that we sort of endorse here, the ones that we've looked at, the ones that we know work, and we get calls quite frequently, what do you think about this other one? Well, we haven't looked at that one yet, but it's hard to decide which one to use because there are so many of them. Some of them are good, and some of them are less than good.
Now, I do want to say, though, that there is one site that I recommend everybody use regularly, and it is an online scanning company. It's called Shields Up. It's from Steve Gibson Research at GRC.com, Gibson Research Corporation. And Steve Gibson is my hero. He writes incredible code, tight, clean. It's all hand-coded assembler, which means it's tiny and fast. And he's doing some great stuff. It's a free scan of your system to see if there are, in fact, holes or problems and stuff like that. So Shields Up is a site that we can recommend. They don't install anything on your machine. But I really think you all need to be very careful about this. You need to be very careful about getting these pop-ups. You just mostly, I suggest you ignore them. Unless it's obviously from your antivirus software you've already got installed, ignore it. And in general, they don't recommend online scans anyway. So ignore online scan pop-ups that you get. First, start using Firefox instead of Internet Explorer. You'll get a lot fewer of them. But if you've already got spyware on your system, you'll see these pop-ups because they want to install more junk. So
Firefox just came out with another patch, too.
Yep, there's a new update to Firefox. And in fact, if you're running Firefox, you'll see at some point in the upper right corner, there's that little rolling thing that says it's going out on the web, that little rolling circle. Next to it, you'll see a little red up arrow. If you scroll over that, I happen to have it on my screen right now. If you scroll over that, it says critical updates available. You click on it, and it goes out to the web and checks for the updates and tells you, oh, look, Firefox 1.02 is now available. I can also check for extensions and themes because my Abe Vigoda status happens to be need updating today. There's an actual extension for Firefox that puts down in the corner the status of Abe Vigoda. Whether or not he's alive or dead. And he's still alive, I'm delighted to say.
Another statistic on that, though. Right now, Firefox is now holding 5.7% of the market.
5.7%? Nice.
Yeah, 5.7%, i.e. still holds 89.9%. You know, and you think, well, that's awful small. Well, you know, the millions of people on there, and it's slowly growing momentum. This number has grown since last year.
Yeah, since last week.
Plus, well, even more so, you know, because they only report on it quarterly. Since the last quarter, it's already jumped another 2%.
Right.
Plus the fact that Firefox can report that it is Internet Explorer to let some websites, well, some websites will say if you're not running Internet Explorer, you can't get in, period.
Yeah.
So Firefox and Safari and the other browsers can say, oh, okay, I am Internet Explorer, and it lets them in anyway.
Right, yeah. Right. So it's hard. It's hard to know.
But, I mean, this
over 25 million people. Have made the switch to Firefox.
And it's growing, you know, each week.
That's right.
We'll get that, you know, percentage up there even more. I'd like to see that even, you know, get out and up to 25% before the end of the year.
Yeah, let's work on that, folks. Get out there and do your job. We're going to take a quick break, but we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Corey Moran, me, Nick Francesco, Bob, Frank, and Mike, who are waiting on the phone, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Corey Moran.
Very nice.
Hey. I got it this time. What do you know?
Got it this time. And we're back with Soundbites. Our first caller is Bob from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Well, I'm having a problem sharing my files and printers on my network. Don't cut me off, but I've got, I'm running ME.
Okay.
And that's some
you know it's bad, and you tell us not that. Okay, go ahead.
That's my host computer. My other computer is a laptop running XP.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a Linksys Wireless G router.
Okay.
And both computers I can use. Well, the laptop is wireless.
Yeah, right.
And I can use. I can get on the internet with both computers.
Mm-hmm.
On the laptop, it shows the network, but mm-hmm. it doesn't show my other computer. And on the other computer, I've shown. I've checked everything. I'm sharing everything, as far as I'm concerned.
So, in other words, under the Windows ME machine, if you click on my computer, you see a little pair of hands underneath the C drive?
That's the icon that tells you a shared folder.
Yeah, it lets you know that it's being shared. The same with the printers, that, you know, you've gone in and said share and give everybody full rights. In other words, you can go in and on your C drive on ME and click on, you know, sharing and share.
Yeah.
And but it might give it only read only, but I usually tell it to give it full.
Right.
And as long as you see that little pair of hands underneath the C drive, then that means it's being shared.
It kind of looks like a hand holding up a tray, sort of like you're being served.
It's a serving tray, serving those files.
I think I first saw that on the Mac.
The early Macs. Yeah.
I go into my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I right click on the.
Nope. If you go
just double click
on. Go into my computer and open it up, you should see your C drive there.
Right.
Does the icon look like there's something underneath the little picture of the drive?
Like a hand.
Nope.
Then you're not sharing
being
it.
Being shared.
So if you right click on it and choose sharing, that will bring up the sharing properties to share that file. Now, there's two ways you can share files. You can share files to other users on that same computer, and there's a second section to share those files on your network. And depending on which you're trying to do, you need to make sure you turn the right one on.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Play around with that and let us know how you make out.
Thank you.
All right, sir.
Thanks. All right, it is kind of hard to get it set up right the first time. Once you've done it once, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But getting it set up right the first time is hard.
Yeah, I'm playing around with it, and
when you're,
sometimes you got to recycle them once you set the sharing up, you know, because it's it doesn't always take effect. You got to reboot, and then you got to reboot the other machine.
And when you try to activate sharing, you get that Windows security thing, or you really want to share this. You want to run the security wizard.
Do you know the risk?
Not really.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's an art, and you got to play around with it a little bit. But like you say, once you've done it once, it's like, and take some good notes.
Yep.
You know, next time, if you got to help, you know, add another computer to that, it won't be as hard.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, folks, we are going to take another quick break, but we're going to be back in on the other side of the break with Dave Enright and Steve Ray and Corey Moran and me, Nick Francesco. Frank and Mike are still patiently waiting on the phone. We'll get to them. We'll talk about more rants and raves from Dave and Steve. And we'll do a whole bunch of other interesting stuff on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
If there's answering your computer questions for over 15 years, it's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benray.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Corey Moran.
You're just not getting it there, Corey. You got to be in there on it.
I'm trying. You know, I got to move these buttons, you know, pushing a lot of stuff.
It's a tough life. I didn't know we were telling rabbit jokes today. Wait, I got one. What do you call... No, I can't tell that one on the radio. How do you... No, can't tell
that
one
either.
I'll think of one later. Our next caller is Frank from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Frank. What's your question?
I've got two questions. The first one is I just updated my Firefox to 1.0.2.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to uninstall the previous editions?
Nope.
Up to 1.0.2.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to uninstall the previous editions?
Nope.
Okay, and last, to back up your computer in the event of a crash, is it better to maybe get an external hard drive or get some of that backup software like, you know, Norton Ghost or Genie or Acronis, anything like that?
Well,
there's generally two ways to approach backup. Do you want a fast backup or do you want a fast restore?
Right.
A fast backup is to copy your documents onto another media. You know, the old days was floppy. Now it's, you know, CDs or flash
USBs,
drives even,
right?
USB
yeah.
flash drives. So if your computer crashes, you then reload Windows, you reload your applications, and you load your documents. So a fast backup gives you a very long restore. But people like fast backups. To do a fast restore, you get something like a large hard drive, external hard drive, USB 2, or FireWire, to back up every file on your computer. So if your computer crashes, you just restore your backup.
The problem with that is if you're running Windows, you have many open files which cannot be backed up to another hard drive, be copied to another hard drive.
Well, unless you get a very expensive backup program that has a comma in the price.
Exactly.
Yeah, ArcServe or Backup Exec will back up open files if you buy the $1,000 server version.
No, I got a better idea, though. I mean, if you're trying to do your home computer and you get, only a 40-gig hard drive, and this is, I'm doing it with a few clients, they get an external USB 2 external hard drive, put a 40-gig hard drive in it, and they use the new Ghost. Ghost can create the whole image of
right.
the drive, and it saves it as one file.
Right.
Won't even fill the 40 gig. You can use it for other purposes. And it will capture all the registries and everything else
yep.
in one neat little package and put it there.
But that's not terribly fast because you have to reboot to use Ghost.
Right.
Right. So that's a very long backup, quick restore.
The new Windows XP and Windows 2000 version, you can do it right in the window.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. We've just been playing with it, and we got it. You can set up schedules. So say you leave your computer on all night.
Right.
You can sit there and have it at 1 o'clock in the morning, ghost the whole image to this USB hard drive, and do it automatically for you. And it's really slick, and it'll back up all your registry settings, all your documents,
right.
everything else to one huge file.
The problem, though, Frank, is why do you need to restore? If you end up needing to restore because your hard drive crashed or whatever, then this sort of I backed up my whole hard drive is a good idea. But if you're restoring because you've got a problem with a virus or whatever, how do you know that you didn't back up the virus? And consequently, saving just your documents and reformatting your drive and putting all your software back is probably safer for you.
Well, here's one issue that you run into. If you do what I suggested at first, that's saying, because I'm assuming that if you're running Windows XP or Windows 2000, especially Windows XP.
Right.
All right. If I ghost everything to this image, to this other hard drive, and say my motherboard blows up.
Right.
So now I got to get another motherboard.
Right.
Unless you
when
get
you
the identical motherboard. All
you
your
have to
are
get
be
even
wrong.
To the right version, in which the odds of that are very slim. You're going to have to reinstall anyway.
Your ghost image and find your documents again.
Yep.
So if you, our suggestion generally is use documents or whatever. And just back that up. And then if you do need to reinstall, so you reinstall Windows, you reinstall your applications. You know you've got clean copies now and you've got all your documents.
Plus on
up.
Any email program or browser, you can export,
right.
say, your bookmarks. And
or all your mail.
Or your email settings. Right.
And backing up documents generally doesn't take that much space, so a small flash drive is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But now as more and more people are getting into audio files, you know, thousands of songs in their documents and video files, you know, we're seeing small hard drives becoming very common to
yeah.
back up.
Right, exactly. Well, I hope we've completely confused you, Frank.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There are some personal backup programs. Backup My PC is a nice one. Retrospect is very powerful in its scripting abilities.
Right.
I've been looking for a cheap backup for Windows 2000 Server and have found there isn't one.
No, there isn't one. Once you say server, there goes the price with the comma.
What I use, and of course I have the luxury of running my own set of servers at work. I hope my boss isn't listening. I have a program. There's a program under Linux, under Unix systems, called rsync. And you can set rsync to copy only the new files. So it's like the copy program with a switch. And I automate it so that every night at 2 a.m. it takes all my documents and backs them up to my machine at work. So I've got duplicates of all of those files. I want my boss to understand I don't put them out on the tape, the backup tape. That's a work related thing, but I've got a little my box at work I save to it.
And that lets me
right, and it's the same idea. And rsync also works on Windows. There are versions of rsync for Windows. You can back up to another drive or whatever you want to do, and that way at one every morning you just back up your new documents to the thing, and it's easier and faster and slower. We have to take another quick break, but we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with, yes, you guessed it, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Corey Moran, me, Nick Francesco. We've got Ginny from Pittsford on the line. We've got Ray from Canandaigua on the line. And hopefully all of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Answering your computer questions for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Corey Moran.
And this is Soundbites. Okay, I got one. The Easter Bunny walks into a... Wait, I can't tell that.
Not that one either?
Okay. Listen, why don't you...
Tell you what. I'll do talk about something that I can talk about. And that's one of the trends that I'm seeing right now.
Wait,
in the
did we already talk to Mike from Gates?
No, he's not.
We'll get to him in a minute.
We got Mike, and we got Ginny, and we got Ray, and we got Wes. So we'll get to you in a minute, but first Dave wants to talk.
Yeah, because we decided, instead of doing the news, kind of go towards trends.
We're
just to let,
about, yeah,
let folks
depth.
Know
issues.
Something a little different. Yeah, issues. And one of the issues that I'm having right now and seeing quite often in the marketplace is, you know, I'm seeing a lot of folks, they are buying these new Dells and the Gateways, the computers, and they're being sold.
Yeah.
It's only $50 more.
A minimum.
Actually, isn't there a class action suit against Dell now for bait and switch? You see the TV commercials for $3.99, and so you call up to buy it, and by the time you're done, you've spent $2,000?
Oh, yeah.
Which any good salesman knows is called upsell.
Exactly, and it's not a bad thing.
Just the other thing.
If you're the salesman.
That, you know, you see the ad also that they're speaking to an American tech. That guy in bed with, you know, sitting there, his wife's sleeping, and he's talking to somebody.
Are you there? Yes, sir.
Yeah. We're here 24/7.
What if I call on Easter? Yes, sir.
But
we're always here.
You never get that. Unlike us, which we are always here every Sunday. But the trend that I'm seeing, though, is a lot of folks are getting suckered into
it. And how are your wives about the fact that we're working on Easter Sunday? Never mind. Go ahead.
No, mine's happy.
Yeah, mine's fine.
Yeah, no. The trend is, like I say, seeing folks getting suckered into going to Windows XP Professional. Well, sir, you know, we can upgrade you to Professional. Well, folks, if this is a home computer, you're not on a corporate network, you only need Windows XP Home.
If you need
getting suckered into, you know, this upgrade, because, you know, if you insist on wanting Home, you can literally demand that you want to save this $50 and maybe put it towards some software.
RAM. Put more RAM in it. Don't let the 128 minimum.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
Or an antivirus program or any of these other packages. Matter of fact, I know for a fact that Dell, instead of spending that $50 towards the XP Professional, you can, for $50, and we've talked about this, is get the Windows Works product. And it also includes so for $50 that you can save yourself and not put it towards that. Don't let them sucker you into it.
XP Pro lets you connect to an NT domain.
Yeah.
If you don't know what that means, you don't need XP Pro.
Like I say, if you're a home computer and you're, you know, don't need that security, you know, to lock things down, that, and the only time you'd need it is if you're going to connect up to a server, then save
the money.
If
you're running a server at home, Yeah. Spend the $50 yeah. if you're running a real server, not a, a yeah. shared peer
Windows
network.
NT, Windows 2000 server, right. Windows 2003 server.
Right.
Now, like in my office, we have to run professionally.
Sure, of course you do.
I'm running an NT 2000 Windows 2000 server.
Right.
So I've got to have it. But the average home, and I, the number of folks I go and see, or they come in, oh, I got professional, and they didn't charge me for upgrading. Yes, they did. They don't get that for free, folks.
Spend $50 on something you need.
Yeah, tell them no. You want to downgrade it to XP Home, and where can I get the credit for that, or use it towards what other?
Here's what you do: you buy a computer, and you tell them you want XP Home, not professional, and then you go to your family and say, "I just bought a new computer, and I'm taking you all to dinner."
Exactly.
There's your $50.
There's your $50. I don't know where you can go for dinner for $50, depending on the size of your family, but even if it's McDonald's, you've taken them all out for something.
It's a good, you know, it's a good start.
Right.
So save your money, folks. That's my tip for the week.
That's a good tip. That's a very good tip. Our next caller is Mike from Gates, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you.
Okay, I'm running. I got an HP computer, 2.5, 3 years old. I turned it on the other day, and it's going through its, you know, squirrely sounds that it makes, and all of a sudden I hear this. And then about 20 seconds later, it says, operating system not found.
Oh.
No, that's a good sound.
That's cute.
Sound.
No, that scared me when I heard it because I knew that wasn't normal.
I thought maybe it was a bunny rabbit.
Yeah, it's just like, your computers are just like your cars. You know, listen to the sounds they make. Odd sounds are bad.
Yeah, odd sounds are bad.
I turned it off. I turned it back on. And it found the operating system and everything's normal. My question is, is it worth it to, I'm assuming that the hard drive is gone.
Most likely.
Like it.
Yeah.
So is it worth it to buy a new computer or put in a new hard drive?
What?
It's always worth it to buy a new computer, but.
Yeah. What are your specs on your current machine?
How fast is it?
Is it like a Pentium 3?
No, it's a Celeron processor.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 1.2 gigahertz or something.
And how much memory?
Not 286. I think it's 384.
Okay. And what OS are you running?
Home Windows XP Home.
Good.
Then what I would suggest, it's not that old of a machine. 10 to 1 odds, all you're doing with it is checking email, doing letters, and that type of stuff.
Right.
Then I would suggest, you know, you can get right now, like I sell, you know, 40 gig, 7200 RPM drives with an 8K buffer for like $70. They're Western Digital, and you can get more space. Just have everything ghost over, and you keep using that machine.
Yeah, your machine's new enough that it probably is cost effective to fix this one.
Right, and your best bet is to get a new drive, have somebody put it in, somebody like Dave or Steve put it in, they can drive to the new drive. And then upgrade your RAM and drive to the new drive. And then upgrade your RAM. And I guarantee you'll think this it's a brand new machine.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, you know, it's foolish to, you know, these folks go out and get all these latest, greatest processors with all this speed. And I still contend 75% of the folks out there don't use 50% of the power in
that
machine.
That's exactly right. He's going to be fine with that machine for a while. Listen, we're going to take another quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Corey Moran, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
The week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. On News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
Moran pushing buttons and screening your calls. Moran pushing buttons and screening your calls.
Hey! That's what we like to hear.
All right.
People probably want to know where the incredible Robinson is. He's one step ahead of the law. Somewhere, I believe Fiji is where he's
left. But he didn't clear it with us.
It's a judgment on weakness.
Yes.
Taking a day and not clearing it with us.
That's not acceptable.
The secret soundbites cabal is going to have a word with him. And it will involve...
He better bring some cookies in, is all I can say. Retribution. We're here on Easter Sunday.
Well, we make his mom work because he took a day off?
Yeah.
Payback
will be a son of a gun. Payback will be a son of a gun to him.
That's exactly right.
Because now we're asking his mom to do the cookies.
That's right.
And he's going to have to listen to his mom. And who better to listen to?
That's exactly right. And let's not forget, his mother likes us.
Yes.
That's right.
She does.
All right. But before we get back to the rant, Steve had an opinion of his own that he wanted to bring out today.
Well, we've talked about standards in the past, and the wonderful thing about standards is there's so many of them to choose from. Well, there's a new standards war brewing in the high-definition DVD format. Many of you are familiar. Many of you are familiar with current DVDs. They store about 4 gigabytes on a disc and can hold about 2 hours of compressed video for a standard movie. But the industry is pushing toward a high definition television, and of course there's two standards of high definition: 1080i and 720p. and each pretty much widescreen is the only thing they have in common. So they're trying to come up with a new DVD format that can hold these HD movies. As I said, the current DVDs can hold about 2 hours of video or less than 20 minutes of HD video. So they're talking about the return of the King's Lord of the Rings DVD comes on 13 DVDs. Because it's such a long movie and the DVD capacity is so low. So who knows how many discs an HD version would take. So there's two standards being proposed by groups of different companies. Blu-ray, which is being promoted by Sony, Disney, Dell, HP, Hitachi, LG, Panasonic, a whole bunch of different companies. And the other standard is HD DVD, which is being, I lost it, Toshiba, NEC, Viacom, NBC, Time Warner. So we have real big names on both sides of the fence, right. And they're trying to decide which one they're going to pick.
Weeks ago, Apple announced
that they are endorsing the Blu-ray format. And one of the big things about the different formats is their technology. A Blu-ray disc, the biggest difference is they're using blue lasers instead of red lasers.
Right.
It has a shorter wavelength so you can fit more data on the disc. A Blu-ray disc can hold about 25 gigabytes per layer, and you can fit at least two per layer, and you can fit at least two layers per disc.
50 gigabytes.
On a single 12-centimeter disc that we're used to. The HD DVD is only 15 gigabytes per layer, but it's more similar to the current DVD process, which means that shifting to HD DVD will cost manufacturers less.
That's the one that will win.
So we're hoping. In fact, Sony this week, Sony's the biggest proponent and basically invented the Blu-ray format. So between Sony Pictures, Sony Movie Studios that they own, they're really pushing for the Blu-ray. But there were some meetings this week between industry executives, and Sony is kind of hinting at a detente. We're hoping they're going to take the best of both standards and mix them together so that we get ease of manufacture, transition, which means a lower cost for the HD stuff, plus the capacity we need to be able to put full-length movies.
You know what the definition of compromise is. Nobody's happy.
Mm-hmm. Right. The least offensive.
Right. What I end up with is the worst of each one. Because that's what everybody could settle on.
Right. And sort of the bottom line is that none of the HD formats are compatible with your current hardware, so you're going to have to buy new stuff anyway.
Yeah,
the question is going to be, which are you going to buy?
Who's going to win out?
Yeah. And in the next couple of years, the DVD forums will decide on a standard, and we'll see what happens.
We've seen that. I mean, this is nothing new. Look at in the modem world.
Right. Yeah.
They had the X and the V.90. You know, I mean, they were always trying to...
And there was always one company, it was U.S. Robotics, for years, got pushing the faster.
Yeah.
They were running faster than the standards committee could define new standards, so the Courier HST was the high-speed one, first one to hit 9600 baud.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And we'll see. What will really happen is that we'll see, and somebody will make money putting... And somebody will make money putting out a DVD player that will read both.
Because right now we're seeing plus and minus DVDs. Now the readers are so common. $99 for an internal plus and minus 16x dual layer.
Right.
So all of the buzzwords.
Yeah, right. And then eventually one will win out, and I don't know which one that'll be.
Yep.
Listen, we are going to take a quick break. The incredible Joan Brandenburg is in to read the news today, and we know how important the news is to you on this glorious Easter Sunday. But we're going to come back on the other side with Dave Enright and Steve Ray and Corey Moran.
Nice.
I don't know what it is. I was up late last night. And me, Nick Francesco. on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. And where do you hear Soundbites? Well, hey, on 1180 WHAM.
Rochester, Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, AO 1180 WHAM, AO 1180 WHAM. Get online now, call 222-1180, the choice one toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here let's go. Dave Enright and Steve Esco, Dave Enright and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Corey Moran.
Doing the job.
I'm on the phones, on the buttons, for Rob.
He's the man. Rob is around at this moment with his feet up.
And he better bring some cookies next
week.
He's
probably not even listening, but if you are, Rob...
If he was listening, he'd have called in by now.
Yeah, right.
Well, I know his mom is.
He's probably still sleeping. But we're going to go back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Ginny from York. Welcome, Ginny. What's your question?
Good morning. Happy Easter.
And the same to you.
Thank you. Windows 98 Second Edition, I recently installed the patch from Microsoft because of shutdown problems, but I cannot seem to relieve the problem of hang-ups.
I have
plenty of space. I mean, it freezes on me. I'm constantly having to do the end task.
I can't even change the clock
without it freezing on.
What task do you have to end?
You know, the control, delete, alt.
Yeah. Know, right. And then which task when that Menton window comes
whatever's
out?
Whatever's running, I just...
When that Menton window comes
whatever's
out.
Whatever's running, I just end them all.
Well, Ginny, you don't know. Only end a task that's frozen.
One thing you might want to try is, tell you what, and this might help the issue, because you already did the Windows 98 Second Edition patch, is if you go to Start, you go to Run, type msconfig,
Mm-hmm.
All right, that very first screen, you're going to see an Advanced button. You click on that, and it's going to open up this other window.
Okay.
Two things you want to make sure that are checked. One is, if it's there, is the fast shutdown.
Okay.
And the other one is disable.
Okay.
And the other one is disable scan after bad shutdown.
Okay.
Check. Make sure those two are checked.
All right.
All right?
Yes.
And then try those and see if that fixes the issue.
Okay.
If that didn't fix it, you can then do that same thing. Go into the msconfig and you go over to the startup button.
Mm-hmm.
The startup, and in there you're going to see a whole laundry list. And in there you're going to see a whole laundry list of things that are being loaded at startup.
Correct.
What you can do is one by one uncheck them. For certain programs, you know, say like if you've got Easy Share going or Real Player or Soft Messenger, you can uncheck those.
Okay.
And see if it's going to help your problem.
And generally speaking, the when it hangs at shutdown, it means that some program isn't quitting.
Right.
And finding what program that is can be tricky.
Right. This isn't the shutdown. Anything I try to do.
Right. Which isn't usually the shutdown patch isn't really going to fix that.
Right.
Have you danced the security tango?
Yes.
And you're still. I wonder if she's got any sort of physical problem. Memory, for example.
The memory was just upgraded to one. The memory was just upgraded to 192, and that's max.
Right, right. I'm not talking about an upgrade. I'm talking about whether or not the memory is good or has a problem.
Oh, I see.
Did this problem happen before the memory upgrade?
Yes. That's why we did the RAM upgrade.
Yeah. Check those things and let us know how you make out.
Okay. Okay.
All right?
Yes. And once I uncheck them, I can always go back and...
You can always recheck them back.
Okay. I'll try it.
Write down which ones you uncheck so you know.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much for your help.
All right. Have a good Easter.
Before we go back to the phones, because Corey's apparently on his own phone call at the moment. Before we go back to the
station business,
we know that. Before we go back to the phones, I want to talk a little bit about our website at soundbites.org. Francis would like me to remind you with a why. Several people have asked me this week, who is Francis? Francis was a woman who just wrote to me once a while ago and said, look, you keep telling us it's Soundbites, but I went to Soundbites with an I, and it turned out to be some hearing aid company, and I just want you to remind everybody it's with a Y. So I'm doing that. Have reason, Francis. You've created a monster, Francis.
At some point in time.
Sure, exactly. We do a poll every week. Last week's poll was about what antivirus software you use, and 549 of you voted, making it number 4 on the all-time hit list. Very excited about that. The winner was very excited about that. The winner was Norton, 39% of you, followed by AVG, followed by McAfee, E-Trust, followed by nothing. I'm going commando.
Ooh, love E-Trust. That, folks. That reminds me that the gentleman earlier caller was having trouble with file sharing.
Yeah.
The E-Trust antivirus that Roadrunner is now distributing for Roadrunner customers will block file and printer sharing on your LAN.
Oh, okay.
So turn that off.
That's not the one you want to use. 17 of you are using Clam AV, which means you're Linux users. 6 of you, which makes you definitely Mac users. And a couple of others, Sophos Nobody, F-Secure Nobody, Bitdefender had 3 people. So that's pretty nice. This week is about web-based antivirus scanners. I should really have put antivirus and anti-spyware scanners. This goes along with the thing I was talking about earlier. So very many of those things are scams. They're just intended to install more spyware and viruses on your system. So the poll this week, pretty simple. I use a web-based antivirus scanner. No or huh? No or huh? So far, we've had 84 of you voting. The vast majority, I'm delighted to say, have said no. 8 of you have said yes. I'd suggest you immediately, all 8 of you, dance the security tango to assure yourselves.
For Stephen A.
Right.
For Stephen A.
Right. To assure yourselves that this is that your systems are clean. Once you're done voting in the poll, and I'm anticipating that there are going to be very few people who will complain that I missed a choice.
Those?
I just said very few as opposed to I just said very few as opposed to hundreds.
Okay.
You know, I expect it would just be very few. Underneath the poll, you'll see a yellowish box. If you click on Give Us Your Opinion, it takes you to my website, ask.com. That's ask.com. That's asknick.com. And if you go there, you will be able to enter an opinion on the poll. Many people were originally frustrated by the fact that all they could do was pick something from the poll and not say, but I put the opinion page up, and people can now do that. So if you do that, that would be great. And once you're done that, come back to the Soundbite site and join us in the forums and take a look at all the other neat stuff. Dave has tips that he puts up every week. There's some stuff, the official Soundbites fact, and I heard a website on your show and all that other stuff. So go for it.
One thing I gotta do is I gotta thank Argyle. This is a request from my wife because you know, he came over because he happened to call him. He won one of the shirts. Gave him one of the shirts. Gave him a shirt and a hat last week. And when
two
he did,
folks from Ambrosia Software, yeah, who were a hoot.
They were fantastic.
They were great.
We're going to have him on again later on this year. But he also brought over some stones. I don't know where he got them, but they were great apple cinnamon stones. They were fantastic.
Stone.
He got them.
Very
but
nice.
Thank you, Argyle. Thank you, Argyle.
Did you save any for us? Uh-huh, see the dead silence that comes out? Yeah, got it. Next contestant, please.
I think there's still a couple left if my wife hasn't eaten them. But you know what? She's been very busy up here.
Your wife is a saint. God bless her. I love that woman.
Puts up with me, and, you know, she has been, I think she's up to almost 100 folks that have, requested the Adamware and Spybot removal procedure.
Right.
I've told folks to email my wife. It's llynch@nrightpc.com, and she'll send you, and she's revised it. She's even sent it out to a few folks since then. And, you know, does a step-by-step procedure on how to run both Spybot and Adware. It's not to teach you how to run the whole tango. That we have the page for. This is a step-by-step procedure on once you have Spybot and Adware on there, how to maintain them.
That's perfect. You know what? I got to remember to put that on the page for maintaining them. Get this from Al Lynch. I have to do that. Before we go back to the phones in just 10 seconds, I just want to say that we're currently listening to our Shoutcast live stream, which is kind of nice. But what really interests me is, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, I put up a podcast of the show. What this lets you do is there's a program called iPodder and a couple of others where you can send week when it sees there's a new show. It down week when it sees there's a new show. It downloads it and immediately sets it into your iTunes. So when you resync your iPod, the new show is available and you can listen to it.
He never got back to me.
We have not yet at any rate, yeah. We have a friend who has been listening. He burns all the shows to CD and listens to them in the car. I told him, you know what, we've got this podcast. I told him, you know what, we've got this podcast. All you need to do is get yourself an iPod and you can automatically get... And his eyes lit up. So I'm expecting the next time I talk to him, he'll be sporting an iPod. But we have 864 people listening to our podcast from all over the world. In Northern Europe, the UK and Denmark and the Netherlands and places like that. We also have Australia and China. We have Canada, the U.S., of course, and that's some comms. We've got France and Italy and Mexico and Denmark, and it's just we're everywhere. It's kind of exciting. It's kind of exciting to see. And we'd like to thank all of you podcasters. Don't forget to tell everybody else the podcast. Right now we're still doing obviously once a week, but I think it's great. I thank you all. Back to the phones now. Our next caller is Ray from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, Ray. What's your question? Ray, are you there? Hello, Ray.
I guess Ray's gone.
Apparently Ray is gone. I'm sorry, Ray. We're going to skip Ray then. We're going to go to Jeff, who's in Naples, New York. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
Yeah, hi. I had a question about what you were talking about a minute ago with the XP Pro versus Home.
Mm-hmm.
I have at my office, which I'm the owner of the office, and I have a network which runs a Linux or Unix server, and it has Windows workstations, and it runs off a hub, and there's a secure firewall and all that stuff. But I access the internet from my laptop,
including Sundays.
That just plugs into the hub, and then I can get onto the internet.
Sure.
But my provider, my
internet
software
provider?
Hardware provider. Okay. Yeah, they say that I need not the internet, the hardware and software provider, the hardware and software provider.
Mm-hmm.
For my business stuff, says I need the XP Pro to be able to access the business software.
It's very possible.
Yes, in that case, yes. The one stipulation I said is if you're a home user.
If that business software is running on a Windows server.
Or a Linux box that's pretending to be a Windows server.
Yeah. Well, it is Linux.
Yeah, but then you need Pro. It's Samba, and it's probably set up with Samba, and it's probably set up with Samba in server mode, and that's the same as actually running a Windows server. So you do indeed need the full XP Pro version.
Again, that's why I was stipulating that it's a home computer.
Answering your computer questions for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Benright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Corey Moran.
And it is Soundbites on a beautiful Easter Sunday here in New York.
Gorgeous out there.
It is gorgeous out there in New York.
Gorgeous out there.
It is gorgeous out there.
47 degrees.
Why are we in here? I don't know.
That's a good question.
Took the puppies out this morning. My wife says she took the puppies out this morning. She didn't even need a coat. It was wonderful.
Yeah, I was sitting out.
This morning I did not help take the puppies
now
out.
Now, in a couple of months, if it hits 47, we'll be digging the coast back out again.
It's exactly right. Exactly right. But here it is. It's a beautiful Easter day. And our next caller is Landon from Rochester, New York. What's your question?
Yes, gentlemen. Happy Easter.
And happy to you.
I'm a Windows 98 user, launched in XP. And
I was wondering if you could kind of help me out with the issue that I'm trying to do in the public substance software.
Okay. A lot of things moved between 98 and
98. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found a lot of things have kind of changed around, but I'll kind of tell you what I have is I have some software, which on startup, for some reason, seems to be launching itself twice. And one of the instances that it launches itself, you know, freezes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the next time it launches it, well, it runs okay. And it runs okay. And what I did is I uninstalled the software and then went online after I got the firewall and Norton set up on the computer to the latest version and installed it.
Mm-hmm.
I still had the same problem. So I uninstalled it again. I went hunting through C, and I found the folder that hadn't been deleted, and there were still some files left over in there. Deleted those out and installed it again. Deleted those out and installed it again. And it's still giving me this problem.
Have you checked in msconfig? If you go to start run and type ms, and you click on the startup bar, and you click on the startup bar, you might see two incidences of that program being loaded at startup. Or you might see one there, and there might be another. If you check into start program, if you check into start programs in the startup folder.
Now, I did go to the startup in the start folder, and I found one in there.
There's probably one there, and then startup menu.
There's also
startup menu.
There's also a difference in the startup folders that the way XP handles multiple users, you have a startup folder for all users, a startup folder for the administrator user, and a startup folder for the username you've created, and all. So if you do a created and all. If you do a right click on the start button, there's gonna be explore all users, and then you can find the all user.
Take
folder.
It out of the startup folder there, and then just make sure that it in the MS config startup tab.
Okay, now I've been setting everything up and installing all the software as an administrator, but logging on as a limited user.
That's the way it should
be. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Should be. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Give it a shot.
All right. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you. That's what I like to hear, somebody who's moving along. You can set up XP to work in classic mode, but it's just you lose some reason you spent the money for the upgrade. At least you use the ability to get to it easily. Our next caller is Bob from Greece, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Good morning. Happy Easter, everyone.
Same to you.
Thank you. Just a quick question. I'm running XP on a Dell Pentium 4, and I installed an anti-spyware from Microsoft.
Right.
And it's been running for a couple of weeks now. But I've noticed that one of my files is gone. I can't find it anywhere. It was a file that I had to hit all video and music stuff on it. And I don't know if it associated it with being a spyware or being part of the program that I was using to get some stuff with or what. But it's, I can't seem to find it anyplace.
Okay. We're finding that there are some interesting things that Microsoft's anti-spyware does. It really does seem to be a pretty decent program in terms of what it blocks and how well it blocks stuff. But it also seems to have its own ideas as to what to do with stuff that it finds. You may have set it up to say delete, and when it deletes a program that it thinks is spyware, like, for example, LimeWire or BearShare, one of those spyware programs that also includes spyware with it. You think it's just a P2P sharing program, but in fact, it loads tons of spyware on your system. When it deletes all of that, it will delete every folder associated with it, including any folder that might have downloaded files in it. That's simply the way that they work it.
Isn't that still a beta yet, too?
Yeah.
It is still a beta. As Giant Spyware, Giant Anti-Spyware Company, whatever they call themselves, they were on a version 4 or some silly thing. But when Microsoft took it over, they brought it back to beta code. So it's really been out there for years. But as far as Microsoft is concerned, it's a beta.
Yeah, you might want to switch it to, like, quarter insert.
As opposed to delete. But the problem is, I'm not entirely certain that you're going to be able to find anything you've deleted now.
Okay,
if it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah, that was my fear, that I'd have to go back and try and find a lot of that stuff all over again.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that.
Restore your backup, as we were talking about earlier.
Exactly. Well, of course, you can download it all again. I guess that's the other thing. I'm sure it was all legitimate and legal download.
Of course, that's why we're giving you the option to do that. Of course it was.
All right.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Corey Francesco. And it's not Corey Mason. It's Corey Moran. I'm terribly sorry. And Corey Mason, if you're listening, hi. I keep thinking of your name. I don't know why. And we've got people on the line. We've got Troy from Holly. Call in. We're on Easter Sunday on 1180 WHAM. On Easter Sunday on 1180 WHAM. Happy Easter. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Corey Moran.
And this is Soundbite. Now, with the next calls, we had an anonymous off-air caller who said if you have set a restore point and you then go back to it, you'll get back E3s. Well, that is...
Big time. Because all the restore point does is restore the registry.
And we cannot emphasize that enough. If you think a restore point up
of, like, say, documents or spreadsheet or that thesis,
you're absolutely wrong.
And the Norton Rescue.
I don't know whether to laugh or vomit.
Thank you, Hank. The Norton Rescue Disks that antivirus creates, that's also not a backup of your computer that lets you boot your computer in case the virus kills
it.
Right, but let me reiterate
this.
A restore point, and the same thing with the rescue disk, they're for one purpose only. A rescue disk is to try to re-get your computer running in the case of a virus, but it is not a backup. A restore point, only going to restore registry settings, it is not a backup program.
Like
it does not back up your documents.
Right. It remembers that. It does. If the program got deleted, that program isn't going to work.
Right.
There's a program.
But the program is not there.
There's a program called Norton Go Back that does.
These are junk.
It's a good concept.
It's a great concept.
It purports to take a snapshot of your hard drive every X days, whatever you tell it to, so you can go back to a previous setting.
But it's still not backup.
It doesn't work well. It eats up huge amounts of disk space.
And fights XP.
Think about it. Three gigabytes of downloaded MP3.
Right.
And you back them up. Where do they go? They have to go somewhere else on your hard drive at 60 gigabytes worth of disk space.
Yep.
If you set a restore point and it doesn't double the amount of stuff on your hard drive, it's not a backup. So anybody out there who's thinking, oh, I've got a restore point, therefore I have a backup. Exactly. It is not a backup. It is simply a registry restore point. You still need to back up
manifest
files. That goes back to what we talked about earlier. You do a backup so you can restore. Why do you want to restore? Something like a rollback would work if you lost a file and want to restore that one file.
Right.
But if your hard drive fails, then you want your backup to be on some other media.
Right.
And theoretically, two or three other media.
And like we said before, if my hard drive fails, I really don't want to restore it to the point it was at just before it failed. I want a brand new system installed. I want a brand new hardware.
That you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm David Ray.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Corey Moran.
And this is Soundbites. And before we move on to our next call, we want to go back and tell Troy he's looking for the GNU C compiler under Windows. And if you go to minj.org, there's a whole bunch of .org. There's a whole bunch of stuff you can download that will let you run that there. Steve's putting a link up. There's the gcc.org site that will give him all kinds of additional information about that. There's all kinds of stuff that's out there. Also, if you go to Cygwin, the Cygwin Project at sources.redhat.com/Cygwin, C-Y-G-W-I-N, that installs a whole Linux environment inside Windows, still can run Windows, not a problem, but it lets you do that as well. We're going to go to our next caller now, and that would be Jason in Buffalo, New York. Welcome, Jason. What's your question? Good. How are you?
Not too shabby. I was listening to what you guys were talking about with LimeWire with a boatload of error in there. And I've noticed that error in there. And I've noticed that every time I've ever installed my computer, you're right, it's like a bomb goes off inside. Mm-hmm. And I've got to wipe the hard drive and start from scratch.
Yep.
So, of course, I'm loath to ever reinstall it.
Right.
However, I've got enough spare parts hanging around to build a nice slow box that I can attach to my network. Now, if I just install LimeWire on that box and just use it as a download box, you have to worry about stuff cross-contaminating and everything else.
Yep. Problem is that most spyware, certainly, and a lot of adware and viruses certainly are very aggressive. And if you're connected to the network at all, they'll cross over. My suggestion is, if you really feel the need to download legal downloads from the network, you set up a Linux box. Download them. Any spyware and stuff that comes along with them simply can't run. You then use ClamAV to check everything, and then you can set up a share using Samba that will let you pull it all over to your Windows box.
Clients of LimeWire and spyware in the Mac versions.
Right, exactly right. And you still have to worry about the file you downloaded that purports to be something you really want and is in and of itself spyware. My favorite part are all of the files that are artworks that are like 20K, works that are like 20K, 8K, 5K, 2K. You know, the latest song from Beyonce or whoever, and it's 2K? I don't think so.
Yeah, you're always shy whenever you're downloading stuff. Anyway, yeah.
But you can hide...
But you can
hide file sizes as well. I mean, you can just pad it with blanks and get a, you know, a 300K file that really is nothing but a virus and a bunch of blank space.
Exactly. So you're right. You're always on the lookout for that stuff. Basically, set up a Linux box, download it through that. And then call it a night.
You got it.
All right, thanks, guys.
Your weekend project.
There you go. And besides, setting up a Linux box is so much fun. Yeah. Our next caller is Colleen from Warsaw, New York. Welcome, Colleen.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I seem to be having a problem with Norton antivirus. I have automatic updates set on it, and it seems to download the same file over and over. If I'm on the internet for any period of time, it'll download a period of time. It'll download a file, and within 5 minutes after it says it's been updated, we'll be downloading the same size file again.
Yeah.
Colleen, version of Norton are you running?
Well, let's see. I installed it. I bought it June of 2004, so it is.
Yeah, I believe that there's been an update, which you should look into get it. In addition, Colleen, I might suggest you dance the security tango.
Okay.
There are viruses that will kill the antivirus software. And so what may be happening is the virus lets you download the update, but then blocks the installation. So Norton says, oh, I don't have this update. I need to get it again.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to securitytango.com, click on the Let's Dance button, and that'll let you dance the security tango. Follow each step individually. Don't skip any. And load all the software you need to clean your system. Clean it all up. Once you're done, email L. Lynch, that's L-L-Y-N-C-H, at nrightpc.com, and get a great document on how to maintain the stuff you downloaded, the stuff you downloaded in the Security Tangle.
Okay, now, I have done the Security Tangle. The last time that I did that, I know I've got a message that I hadn't gotten before that should, I can't even remember what the message was now, but it was an unusual message that I hadn't gotten before.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't, the Security Tangle didn't uncover anything that needed to be fixed.
I'm worried about that message you got.
Yeah.
That may have been uncovering
something. Try doing it in safe mode.
Yeah, I did it in safe mode.
Yeah, okay. If you start right with a new downloaded version of Stinger,
uh-huh.
Stinger needs to be downloaded every time you run it.
Yeah, I did that too.
Okay, so do that again and check to see if that's where your message came from, and pay attention to it.
Okay.
Okie doke.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Colleen. Let us know what happened. Our next caller is Bob from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Morning, guys. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. I have a question about Firefox. Where mm-hmm. can I get more information about it, and why is it so much better than...
You can get lots of information at mozilla.org. The Firefox web browser is from the Mozilla folks. Mozilla.org/product/Firefox will take you right to the Firefox page. Only get the free downloads, but you learn a lot about it. There's a support tab in the upper right, and it talks about how to install it and how to troubleshoot it. There's official online documentation, frequently asked questions. There's a knowledge base. There's support forums. If you want to pay for phone or email support, you can do that. So there's lots and lots of support available for it once you know where to find it.
Then the biggest reason to use it instead of Internet Explorer is that it's not so tied into Windows. So that viruses that come through web pages and spyware mm-hmm. and whatnot can't automatically attach themselves into your Windows files, that the yep. browser doesn't have access to your system. And the pop-up blocker that's built into it now, although now IE, the latest patch of IE6 has a pop-up blocker built in.
Right.
The third just added a lot of that stuff before.